It's the worst environmental disaster America has ever faced. And for President Obama, it's arguably the biggest challenge facing his presidency. In the nearly 2 months since an explosion at a drilling well off the Gulf Coast of the USA, the oil company BP and government scientists have failed at nearly every effort to plug the leak of gushing oil. But as the fallout from the oil spill continues to reverberate in the political arena on a daily basis, what are the feelings of those people in the Gulf areas who are now having to experience at first hand the oil and tar balls washing up on their beaches? How badly has it impacted upon the livelihoods of people in the local fishing and tourism industries? And what do they think about the way the disaster has been handled and about the spill's long-term effects on the area's environment? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Monsignor Michael Farmer, Vicar General of the Catholic Archdiocese of Mobile in Alabama. That's one of the areas along the Gulf Coast where tar balls and oil from the spill are washing up on the local beaches. He began by telling me how the spill has been impacting upon the local community.
Along our Gulf Coast, which are primarily two counties in our archdiocese, have both been affected, particularly one of our small fishing villages, Bayou La Batre, and our recreational cities of Orange Beach, Alabama, Dolphin Island, Alabama, and Gulf Shores, Alabama.
And as these tar balls wash ashore, what are the people's feelings there in those coastal areas? Can you tell us something about their mood?
I think the mood of most people, it is disappointment. Of course, many who have their livelihood from the Gulf of Mexico, be it fishing, recreational fishing, or tourism, running hotels and condominiums, are now at a point of not only disappointment, but frustration and anger about the bureaucracy of BP and our federal government. Some of the bureaucracy of trying to get people in to clean up the beaches, skim the water. So I think that's the feeling.
So generally, people aren't very satisfied with the handling so far of this crisis. They feel, as you say, there was too much bureaucracy and too much time wasted.
Yes, I think that's the feeling, and I think there's, to a certain degree, too, growing apprehension of just what are really the facts of this oil leak. You know, the whole debate about how many gallons and barrels of oil are leaking a day seems to change constantly. And so I think what people really would like is just a clearer picture of this, though at the same time, I think people understand it's a frustrating situation for everybody involved, both the local communities, local government, the oil industry itself, and our government.
Have you been to the beach, to the coastal areas? Have you seen for yourself the impact of this spill? Can you describe for us a little bit what it looks like, how it has affected the beaches?
Along our Gulf Coast here in the Archdiocese of Mobile, the beaches are Mobile County and Baldwin County, Alabama, and I have been to the beaches over in Baldwin County, which is primarily our recreational and tourist area. It's white sand, very clear, beautiful white sand that now has been inundated with tar balls and also just actual clunks, if you will, of oil that have come up onto the beach. And it's because of the sugar white beach being the way it is, it shows itself even more and looks somewhat more devastating. You know, the pristine beach now is dirty. It takes about 2 days, 2.5 days to clear it off each time they have this wash up on shore. So you see that there are not as many tourists there. There are still tourists coming, but due to this fact, people are staying away from our coastal towns, particularly our more recreational towns, for the summer. This is the height of the tourist season right now, and a lot of those people are not coming, and it's devastating to look at, but it's also sad to see the crowds of the people not on the beaches and the restaurants and things not as filled as they otherwise would be.
And how big are these tar balls?
The ones that as close as you can get up to are, some look almost like small rocks, and some are a little larger than that. And with summer heat, of course, the tar balls are, they come ashore, and then on the warm sand, they begin to, it's almost like a melting thing, which makes it even more difficult, I think, for the cleanup crews to get them all cleaned up, because it more meshes into the sand once it comes on shore.
Is it the case that many people are playing down the impact because they're worried that it will drive tourists away? I'm talking obviously about people who are involved in the tourist industry.
Yeah, well, I think they're not necessarily, I don't believe they're necessarily playing it down, but I think what we're finding is with this prolonged oil leak in the Gulf itself and how long it takes to reach shore, that some beach, a town, let's say in our own archdiocese, we have two primarily coastal cities that are tourist centers, which are basically like 2.5 miles, 3 miles apart from each other. And it's just according to how these oil slicks come in. One beach could be hit one day, and 2 days later it's cleaned up. The other beach might not have any impact. So I think it is sort of calling people to at least come and still come to the beaches. I think they're being realistic about you can possibly get in the water some days and possibly some days not. So, I mean, yes, I think from a standpoint, economic standpoint, there's still this great invitation to come on down to the Gulf Coast and go to the condos and the hotels and to the restaurants, because it is the way this oil slick is working. One beach might have a problem and the other may not.
What has the Catholic Church, both locally and nationally, been saying about this continuing oil spill crisis?
For us as a local church, I don't know about the national church, really, of our National Conference of Catholic Bishops, but the local church, that is the Archdiocese of Mobile, the Diocese of Biloxi, which is our neighboring diocese in Mississippi, and the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee, which is to the east of us in the Florida Panhandle, I think all of us, as far as in our parishes and on weekdays as well as our Sunday masses, putting into the intercession basically a steadfast prayer and petition to God that those that are trying to resolve the oil leak, that they will be successful. And I think also, too, we have been praying for a renewed appreciation of God's creation and our good stewardship of His creation. And also from our ministry of our people here along the Gulf Coast, particularly in the Archdiocese of Mobile, I know our local Catholic social services, our local Catholic charities, is monitoring the needs of our own people, particularly in the fishing villages and also our tourist areas, that people, their livelihood, their economic livelihood, is being damaged by this. Our social ministries are monitoring that now. We have not been inundated with requests yet, but as this awful situation continues, we know that our social ministries and outreach will probably be needed with our local people, both those working in tourism and the fishing industry.
Do people there fear that the effects of this spill may go on or may be felt for years to come? Is there a real fear about that?
I think there is a fear of the lasting impact. You know, I think there's at least a bit of degree of confidence with possibly the late summer bringing the actual oil leak to an end. But what is fearful now is the ecological impact and the economic impact that will come even after, God willing, and we pray that the oil leak is stopped. They're telling us if it's stopped, that it still has a six-week period into which the oil comes on ashore. How much damage that does, particularly for the fishing industry, which along the Gulf Coast was already critically damaged with Hurricane Katrina and was just now getting back on their feet, if you will. Now this oil leak closes off the fishing waters, and once again their livelihood is damaged, and just how long they can bear that is really being discussed along the entire Gulf Coast, particularly in the fishing industry, about just how much more can they take, how many more months can they survive with limited fishing waters and the damage that it's causing. I think the discussion now is just what is the long-term impact with the ecology of the Gulf of Mexico. You know, will our fishing beds and places where oysters and shrimp are harvested, how long-term is that damage in those areas?
What do you think are the lessons that should be learned from this crisis? I mean, we've seen how, despite all our technological inventions, that they have really struggled to cap this oil. You know, they've been trying all sorts of things. It really has shown up the limits, hasn't it?
Yes, I think from a faith perspective, this is something that is a lesson that we're learning from modern humanity, that we have technology that can drill for oil 1 mile below the surface of the water and then another mile into the bed of the floor of the Gulf of Mexico. But that same technology, we don't have the technology to reverse that oil flow if it happens. And that is the frustrating thing here, that we are learning that technology also has its limitations. And I think, not to be against technology, because we're praying that technology will be able to bring the oil leak to an end, but at the same time, it does question about, do we have technology that goes beyond our ability to control? And I think this is where the voice of the gospel, the voice of the church, has something to say about being careful of, quote, what you create when you cannot control it. And we're seeing that disastrously being lived out right now along the Gulf Coast. This trying all sorts of methods to bring this oil leak to an end. We had the technology to do all this drilling, but that very same technology we don't seem to have to stop the oil leak. And to remember that there is an ultimate creator, and also just a renewed understanding, too, of our dependency, I guess, too, on fossil fuels.
Are people starting to question our dependency on fossil fuels, our over-dependency, given, as you say, these very high-risk operations like deep-sea oil drilling?
Yes, I think that's going to be part of the debate. There will always be the two extremes, I'm sure, out there in that debate. But I think most people are realizing, is this what it's going to take? And, quote, is this technology going to continue to do this just to be able to feed our dependency upon fossil fuels? So are we willing to, the modern culture and society, are we willing to be sacrificial? That is, are we willing to not just drain our natural resources but try to preserve them so that we don't have to go to such extremities for the fossil fuels? In other words, can we also then use the very technology that's drilling a mile underneath the seabed? Can we also use that mind power, that creative energy and wisdom that God gives a human being, to maybe figure out other ways that are not so destructive, are potentially destructive for energy usage?
I was speaking to Monsignor Michael Farmer, Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Mobile in Alabama.